Except such a brilliant wife, as advised by Chanakya Pandit, Striya Ratnam, Dusculadapi. The combination of male and female is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on an equal level. So Srila Prabhupada here is describing Anuloma and Pratiloma. I actually forget which one's which. But one is that the scriptures suggest and highly recommend that we marry, that women always marry up. Because if we don't marry up, our qualities won't be appreciated and they will be squished and we'll have to go down. And so in order to keep us all in our best position and able to perform our activities and our devotional service in the best way, we need to put ourselves in situations in which we can elevate ourselves. And here it said that a man, usually they marry somebody of equal stature. And so generally Brahmins would marry Brahmins, Kshatriyas would marry Kshatriya-type natures like that. In some circumstances, men can take a qualified wife from somebody of a so-called lower status in life if they can recognize that they have good qualities. Because they also want to keep their level of qualification and not degrade themselves further. So it also keeps the dynamic that, let's see, where are we going here with this? It keeps the dynamic that mutual respect is there. So we understand that because men have a stronger physique and sometimes an intelligence which enables them to stay not influenced by just sentiment, that it's their position to protect women and other children and other parts of society. And so in order to be encouraged, that respect needs to be there. So for a woman to marry a man that she can't respect is going to be hard for him to bring out his good qualities. So that dynamic needs to be in place. So then, I'm just going to go on a little further here. Urvasi said, "My dear hero, only preparations made in ghee, clarified butter, will be my edibles, and I shall not want to see you naked at any time, except at the time of sexual intercourse." The great-minded King Pururava accepted these proposals. Text 23. Pururava replied, "O beautiful one, your beauty is wonderful, and your gestures are also wonderful. Indeed, you are attractive to all human society. Therefore, since you have come of your own accord from the heavenly planets, who on earth would not agree to serve a demigoddess such as you?" Srila Prabhupada's purport. It appears from the words of Urvasi that the standard of living, eating, behavior, and speech are all different on the heavenly planets from the standards of this planet Earth. The inhabitants of the heavenly planets do not eat such abominable things as meat and eggs. Everything they eat is prepared in clarified butter. Nor do they like to see either man or woman naked, except at the time of sexual intercourse. To live naked or almost naked is uncivilized. But on this planet Earth, it has now become fashionable to dress half naked, and sometimes those like hippies live completely naked. Indeed, there are many clubs and societies for this purpose. Such conduct is not allowed. However, on the heavenly planets, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, aside from being very beautiful, both in complexion and bodily features, are well-behaved and long-living, and they eat first-class food in goodness. These are some of the distinctions between the inhabitants of the heavenly planets and the inhabitants of Earth. So here, Urvasi is saying that I can only agree to this relationship if it stays in the mode of goodness. I come from the heavenly planets, and here we practice mode of goodness living. Dressing is in the mode of goodness, eating in the mode of goodness, behavior is in the mode of goodness. So I need to know that I'm not going to degrade myself in your company, that you are able to, you know, maintain the mode of goodness. And if so, then, you know, I can agree to this union. Because it seems that Puarava, even though he came from the earthly realm, he had done enough austerities and pious activities that he was able to attract somebody from the heavenly planets. And it appears that he had somewhat, you know, very good qualifications. Text 24. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "The best of human beings, Puarava, began freely enjoying the company of Urvasi, who engaged in sexual activities with him in many celestial places, such as Chitrarath and Nandakanana, where the demigods enjoy. Urvasi's body was as fragrant as the saffron of a lotus. Being enlivened by the fragrance of her face and body, Puarava enjoyed her company for many days with great jubilation." Text 26. Not seeing Urvasi in his assembly, the King of Heaven, Lord Indra, said, "Without Urvasi, my assembly is no longer beautiful." Considering this, he requested the Gandharvas to bring her back to his heavenly planet. So it appears that somehow or other Mitra and Varuna had given her a curse, and so she fell from the heavenly planets. And now Indra was very much missing her, and so he requested the Gandharvas to make some arrangement that she could come back. So we see that they launched a plot to make this happen. Text 27. Thus the Gandharvas came to Earth, and at midnight, when everything was dark, they appeared in the home of Puarava and stole the two lambs entrusted by the king to the king by his wife, Urvasi. Purport. The dead of night refers to midnight. The Mahanisha is described in this Smriti mantra, Mahanisha Dve Datike Ratrer Majima Yama. 12 o'clock midnight is called the dead of night. So we remember that Urvasi also had the agreement that with Puarava that he would take care of the lambs that came with her. Text 28. Urvasi treated the two lambs like her own sons. Therefore, when they were being taken by the Gandharvas and began crying, Urvasi heard them and rebuked her husband. "Now I am being killed," she said, "under the protection of an unworthy husband who is a coward and a eunuch, although he thinks himself a great hero." Text 29. "Because I depended on him, the plunderers have deprived me of my two sons, the lambs, and therefore I am now lost. My husband lies down at night in fear, exactly like a woman, although he appears to be a man during the day." So I find this quite fascinating, because Just like Maharaj, and many of you here seem to be quite into astrology. I don't know anything about astrology. But my interest is more psychology. So I see the psychological happenings in all of the pages of Bhagavatam. We all see with our, you know, unique visions what we look at in the Bhagavatam. So here we see that Urvasi, she's trying to spur Purava to act. And in order to get him a little bit upset and even maybe even angry, because when one has a little bit of anger, one gets adrenaline. And when one has adrenaline, then one, you know, moves and acts. So she's spurring him to take some action. And she's, you know, not doing it so respectfully. She's saying, you know, you're just fearful like a woman. So for women, because we maybe are a little bit weaker in bodily stature by nature, we do have fear that we can maybe be harmed by men, or we have a very strong fear that we will be alone and isolated and not protected. So when our lower nature, you know, our fearsome side comes out, we may not speak in the best way. And so we see in men-woman dynamics that when our lower nature is brought out by some kind of circumstance, like maybe fear, or maybe for a man that, oh, I'm not adequate, I'm not a good husband. You know, like she's triggering him, hey, you know, you're just a eunuch and a, you know, unworthy husband. So she's triggering this feelings of inadequacy in him. And it's not a, it's, you know, those dynamics can go downhill pretty quickly. So we see that she's using it to her advantage to get, like she's fearful. What about these lambs? What's going to happen to them? So in her fear, she's getting a little nasty with her husband. Text 30. Purava, stricken by the sharp words of Urvasi like an elephant, struck by its driver's pointed rod, became very angry. Not even dressing himself properly, he took a sword in his hand and went out naked into the night to follow the Gandharvas who had stolen the lambs. So we see here that when we become overcome by anger, we can't discriminate what's proper behavior and what's not proper behavior, because that anger consumes us. I think my husband was describing the other day this Rudra principle. The adrenaline floods your body and it disconnects your rational part of your brain so that you don't have access to it. So that's why in scriptures we're always advised to try to curb lust and anger, because these things are the foremost enemies on the path of spiritual realization, because we can't access our higher nature to choose good behavior. And so this is what's happening by Purarava. This anger's overcoming him. And he's forgetting to get dressed. He doesn't even think, doesn't even notice. When we're angry, we have no idea what we do. We don't even remember it. So later on, you know, you're having an argument. You did this, you said that. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Nobody's remembering, you know. Guaranteed, you don't have it right. No use arguing over it. When you don't have your higher nature, your higher intelligence intact, your memory isn't there. So your memory of the circumstances is going to be faulty. So, so much disadvantages come when we're not able to access our higher intelligence. Text 31. After giving up the two lambs, the Gandharvas shone brightly like lightning, thus illuminating the house of Purava. Urvasi then saw her husband returning with the lambs in hand, but he was naked, and therefore she left. Because she'd had the agreement with him that if I ever see you naked when we're not engaged in intimate activities, then I'm out of here. You know, I just can't live with a, you know, person like this. It's not my upbringing. And so she had made her boundaries, and she was sticking to them. It's interesting how you can see the setup by the Gandharvas, right? They lure the lambs away, and then they illuminate the room. They're trying to make all arrangements that Urvasi's going to leave Pururava so that she will go back to the heavenly planets and grace them with her presence. Text 32. No longer seeing Urvasi on his bed, Pururava was most aggrieved. Because of his great attraction for her, he was very much disturbed. Thus lamenting, he began traveling about the earth like a madman. Text 33. Once during his travels all over the world, Pururava saw Urvasi accompanied by five companions on the bank of the Saraswati at Kurukshetra. With jubilation in his face, he then spoke to her in sweet words as follows. Text 34. O my dear wife, O most cruel one, kindly stay, kindly stay. I know that I have never made you happy until now, but you should not give me up for that reason. This is not proper for you. Even if you have decided to give up my company, let us nonetheless talk for some time. Text 35. O goddess, now that you have refused me, my beautiful body will fall down here, and because it is unsuitable for your pleasure, it will be eaten by foxes and vultures. Text 36. Urvasi said, my dear king, you are a man, a hero. Don't be impatient and give up your life. Be sober, and don't allow the senses to overcome you like foxes. Don't let the foxes eat you. In other words, you should not be controlled by your senses. Rather, you should know that the heart of a woman is like that of a fox. Therefore, it's no use making friendship with women. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Chanakya Pandit has advised, Vishvasho naivate kartavya strishu raja lukeshu cha. Never place your faith in a woman or a politician. Unless elevated to spiritual consciousness, everyone is conditioned and fallen. What to speak of women who are less intelligent than men? Women have been compared to sudras and vaishyas, striyo vaishyas tata sudra. On the spiritual platform, however, when one is elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness, whether one is a man, woman, sudra, or whatever, everyone is equal. Otherwise, Urvasi, who was a woman herself and who knew the nature of women, said that a woman's heart is like that of a sly fox. If a man cannot control his senses, he becomes victim to such sly foxes. But if one can control the senses, there is no chance of his being victimized by sly fox-like women. Chanakya Pandit has also advised that if one has a wife like a sly fox, he must immediately give up his life at home and go to the forest. Matarya-sya grihe-nasti bharya-chapriyavadini aranyam tena gantavyam yatarantata griham. Krishna-conscious grihastas must be very careful of the sly fox woman. If the wife at home, Sri Panchatattva Kijai, is obedient and follows her husband in Krishna consciousness, the home is welcome. Otherwise, wouldn't you give up one's home and go to the forest hidvatmapatam griham andakupam vanam gato yat darim ashreya. Bhagavatam 7:5:5. One should go to the forest and take shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised Devananda Pandit that when we read or speak Bhagavatam, we must understand that every single verse of Bhagavatam is only meant to direct one on the path of bhakti. And so here we see that Urvasi, she is trying to induce Purava to use his good intelligence. And so she's telling him that don't degrade yourself just by being consumed with sensual enjoyment. It's not befitting of a person who wants to advance in spiritual life. And she's saying, just don't succumb to your senses, because your senses are like sly fox. And so then she's taking a humble position in order to encourage him to behave on the best level. So she's saying, you know, I'm a woman and women are less intelligent, and we can also do things where we're just wanting to satisfy our senses. Srila Prabhupada describes intelligence as the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. So we see that whether we're a man or a woman, if we're not seeing something in the proper perspective, we're less intelligent. So here Urvasi's directly saying that, you know, when I do this, I'm less intelligent, so maybe if you're doing it, you're less intelligent too, you know? And so she's just trying to showcase what less intelligence looks like, and to encourage him to strive for something, strive to use his intelligence in good ways. And so Prabhupada's saying here in this purport that whether one is a man, a woman, or a sudra, we're pretty much all in this same position. That when we become separated from our higher consciousness and we just respond to sensual sense, just respond to the urgings of the senses, then we may not have the ability to properly utilize our intelligence. And so whenever we come across such statements like this, we have to see what's the intention. Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that women are less intelligent, and so they need to be protected. So in that circumstance, Arjuna is very fearful that if this war takes place, women will be left unprotected. And as we were reading just a little bit earlier in the same chapter, how the beautiful wife Tara of Brihaspati had somehow been kidnapped by Buddha. And while there, you know, I'm sure Buddha, you know, sweet-talked her, and, you know, she's just sweet-talked into having a relationship with Soma. Because we all have our each part of our personalities has a strong side and a weak side. So by nature, women tend to be very soft-hearted, giving, caring, and that's our strength. We can nurture children, other people in society. That's our strength. But also, if we don't keep our intelligence, that can be our weakness. And so because we're soft, we can easily be led away thinking that the person has good intentions, and maybe they don't. So in this regard, Prabhupada's saying that it's very important for men to protect women. And so he's, you know, urging that sense of protection that, you know, other men might sweet talk us and our discrimination might not be there because we might be soft-hearted. And so therefore, and sometimes we need to be guided. We see here, though, that it's the reverse. Pururava, he's succumbing to his less intelligent side. And Urvasi's trying to persuade him to again go in the circumstances where he can use his intelligence. And so that's the purpose of these conversations. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is always meant to understand the position. We always have to see it in the light where we understand the welfare of all. So we never look at Bhagavatam, as my husband was describing in his class, this makes me better because you're lower. That's not what we see. We see that everybody, we have to act in such a way that everybody's welfare is taken into consideration. So we don't take these purports in Bhagavatam to put down another person or take advantage of them or abuse them in any way. Because that isn't the purpose of having power. Prabhupada said kshatriya means to protect from harm. Nowadays we see a soldier, they abuse. I mean, what soldiers do is so degrading, you know. They're not going out to protect, they're going out to, you know, rape and pillage, you know. So it's not to be used in that way. Power is to be used to raise people up and to protect them. So we always have to read Bhagavatam with that light. What is the message that I need to learn to uplift me so that I can be compassionate to others? We never use Bhagavatam to lord it over other people. And when we can see in that way, we can see in that way. We start to see everything in that light. So when society is in a proper balance and people are well protected, they will naturally be able to use their higher intelligence. So I first opened Bhagavad Gita and I read Srila Prabhupada said, women are less intelligent. That didn't offend me in any way. I've always been well protected by my father. He was always very respectful, treated me very well, encouraged me in many things. My husband the same way. So when one feels protected, then one naturally sees the intent when somebody is saying something for your benefit. So I could see that Prabhupada's intent was there, that, you know, sometimes we can exhibit our lower nature, and in that way it's beneficial to take and guidance from somebody else, so we can again come in our intelligent position. It's not a put down. And so we see that we need to treat each other in the proper manner so that we can grow in wholesome ways. And that we will be able to see everything in the proper perspective. Because if you're a woman who has been repeatedly abused put down, told you're less intelligent, you don't know anything, you're just a fool, and then you come for shelter to spiritual life, and you read women are less intelligent, you're going to think, oh no. You know, here's a place that they're going to abuse me and take advantage of me again, because that's your experience with that. Whereas that's not my experience, so I understand that that's not Prabhupada's intent. I can see that. So we have to read Bhagavatam with those higher, seeing it from the higher intentions, and not use it to lord it over others and treat people badly. So that's my understanding. If anybody would like to ask a question, or go ahead, Govindapriya. The mic is just now coming. So I would say that a man who's attracted by a foxy woman means they have the same intention. He's looking for sensual enjoyment, and they're looking for sensual enjoyment. Whereas a man who has a good upbringing, higher intelligence, that's not what they're going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for somebody who can help them advance in spiritual life. And even I see that materialists, when they have good morals and they're always looking to elevate themselves, they look for women who are also looking to elevate themselves. That's not what they're looking for. So I say that it's like attracts like. And I don't think that we want to pigeonhole men or women in any, you know, one class. It's just that when either one of us exhibits our lower nature, that's what we're looking for, sense enjoyment. You know? And so we don't want to beat up either sex. You know, we're in the material world, we've got the same problems. No, that's this is a spiritual atmosphere, Prabhu. That's Sukadeva Goswami. He's just sneaking out from the forest. He has no motivations.
My second comment is, I really appreciate you address that subject so thoroughly, especially because it is a problem that even within our own society, sometimes, unfortunately, men may cherry-pick certain things from even Srila Prabhupada's books, not understanding the broad context of what is being said, and use those statements to justify abuse, which is tragic and actually a tremendous offense to our Shasti Guru.
So the bottom line is find out how to keep your higher intelligence intact so that we can nicely advance and progress on the path of bhakti.
But this is so easy to say.
I know. Yep.
It's rarely discussed about, you know, people have done courses to be graduated. Nobody touched the fire. And, you know, let's be burned and try to figure it out somehow together, because it's crazy.
So you're saying that because we're in the material world, it's kind of relentless, you know, the body pushing us to just go for material enjoyment, you know, because that's why we've come to this material world, because we want to lord it over and enjoy. And so our bodies may be pushing us for sense enjoyment. So we need to take good association to help us decide, how am I going to deal with this personally? What is it that I need so that I can purify my intelligence and be able to overcome this and access my higher nature? So very often, in order to purify something, one has to utilize it in the service of Krishna. And so that's why Grihastha Ashram is there. Prabhupada said, told Jamuna that an ashram is a factory for producing Krishna consciousness. So we all have material desires. But when we take responsibility and we enter into Grihastha Ashram, and you don't just get free enjoyment. It's a little bit maybe misleading here, because in the higher planets, they have Gandharva marriages. Like, you see, they're uniting for sex, but they're calling husband. Because there they don't have... When you have sex together, you're married. It's like you have to take the responsibility. So when we take responsibility for something, we realize that I can only manage so much. You know, it's like you have a wife, but you have to have the house, you have to have the job. All this comes with it. And so by taking responsibility, you slowly get purified of the desire to just want unlimited enjoyment, because you can't have it without taking responsibility. And so, you know, maybe... gradually, because in order to have a congenial relationship in Grihastha life, you have to have that give and take, and you have to do things not just for your own sense enjoyment, but you have to do it as a service for others. And when you get in, you still have to have that service attitude, that I'm serving my wife and my children and my husband. And by this service attitude, that purifies our tendency for personal enjoyment, in that we develop affection for others because of that service. And when our lust gets purified into affection, then that affection is more on the platform of the spiritual world. Prabhupada gave one purport where he said that in the spiritual world, Rajaguna is affection which maintains the devotees. Where in the spiritual, in the material realm, we use our Raja just for our own sense gratification. It's not affection which gives the devotees that connection that helps them advance in Krishna consciousness. So we are all wired to connect. Yoga means to link and to connect. So our purpose in life is to link with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we develop and we attain that link through association with other devotees. So we have to have good connections with other devotees in order to purify our mentality. So if we're in some situation where those desires need purifying, then you have to put yourself in the condition and situation that you're going to be purified the best. So we want to very carefully choose the situations which are going to help us advance. So sometimes a brahmachari will understand that that's just too difficult for me. You know, I just can't go through all that. And maybe I just got to, you know, tolerate my body giving me some discomfort for a while. And, you know, if I keep on serving Krishna, I'll get satisfaction and, you know, I can advance in spiritual life. And other people might realize that, well, it's not quite working for me. I need some other type of purification. And so maybe I need to go into the Grihastha ashram and purify things in such a way that I can utilize all of my desires for the purpose of advancing in Krishna consciousness. And so we have to make those choices. And that requires introspection and honesty. And there's no shame in picking the best situation that you need to advance. That's intelligence. And so we all need to look inside our hearts and see which is best for us and consult with others who are close to us and understand our natures and decide what path is the best for us to purify our desires so that we only desire the pleasure of Krishna. All right. I think you following up on that? Somebody else had a question there too, but it went some... Oh, was it you that were back there, came here? Somebody, I don't know. I just saw another hand back there. You had the question, right? Yeah. Go ahead. We'll get to everybody. We may starve, but we'll get to everybody.
thank you, Mataji. Actually, I have just one comment. Most of us here, we didn't have a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada in person. But I can really feel his compassionate nature through you and his disciples. I can really feel it.
Thank you.
So it really satisfied my heart because sometimes we have, especially at the beginning, I have some ideas that Srila Prabhupada can be, you know, hard, you know, sometimes. But through the time,
most of the time, no.
He was really compassionate also to our, let's say, human part of us.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you can please just say a few words on that, because how you feel, because sometimes in his lecture he can be really, you know, smashing your cats and dogs, rascals. And how did you understand as a young, especially as a young lady, you know, these moments?
You asked a lot of things there. I'm going to pick and choose what I want to answer. except I forgot where I was going to go. I tried not to pick and choose. I found that by reading all of Prabhupada's books and listening to all of his lectures and how he dealt with people, I could see his overall mood of compassion. And occasionally, when he needed to be strong, he was. And that gave me a feeling of protection. You know, that when someone needs to be strong, they can be strong. But the rest of the time, he really did understand the human nature. That's the one I want to answer. So in Srila Prabhupada's books, and when he's speaking from the Vyasa Sun, he presents the highest principles because we need to know where to go. When he was in person, he saw the human dilemma and he had compassion and he would say, just make one tiny step up. You know, there's the story that Shyamasundara was carving the Jagannath and the cigarettes are sitting on his arm, the cigarette package, and Prabhupada takes his cane, you know, flicks them off. He said, yeah, I know, it's hard to give up smoking. Just smoke one cigarette less a day until you're not smoking anymore. He didn't say, you fool, you know, how do you think you can carve Jagannath? You're still smoking. Get out of here, you're not fit. He didn't say that. He just realized he's struggling with something. And just take a step up. And so many times people would go to Srila Prabhupada and said, what do I do? And Prabhupada would give them the next step up. And so it's not that he expected that we could even get to that highest platform, but we need to know what it looks like so we can choose our next steps to get there. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very compassionate. So that's my Mr. Checkered Shirt.
What can I do with this question? Like, you know, you people, you know, the world is, can be urgent. We can maybe get scared just because of this too high philosophy. If there is no subtitles you gave just now, then, like, most of them.
Yeah. That's why you need sangha of mature devotees who understand the steps to get there. It may not be what we speak in Bhagavatam class. You know, I have spoken to some gurus, and they say, in Bhagavatam class, I give the highest. If they ask me personally, I give other options. But on the Bhagavatam, I have to speak the highest. So therefore, we need to provide other sanghas. And that's why my husband and I travel, and we preach about how to navigate through the Grihastha ashram to purify yourself in such a way that you're going to get to the higher platform. Not that you're going to make the wrong choice, get a divorce, that didn't work. You know, it's like you have to find the right way to do it. And so we need to have those other sanghas also where we can get help on how to take those steps. I know. Okay.
Question, because then like, the concert in the street, you read out the books, but like to say, like, what your freelance speech and do, like just preach to read the books, then is the Rema can be other. You know? Either really not to give nothing, just a little or as little as possible, because like he says, like, you know, let them read the books, don't preach.
So you're saying that you distribute a book, somehow induce them that you became happy by reading the book and you will become happy, and then they can read the book and figure it out for themselves. That's what you're saying, because Srila Prabhupada's mood will come through the book.
No, like you come across it like some leaders, they said, like, what in your 3 minutes? Preaching when you meet someone?
Okay.
You have short time to do it. Why preaching them, like, you know, just induce them to read.
Right. Make friendship. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.